Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I'm your host. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, and FamilyPetAncestry.com. They all lead to a variety of places where you can listen to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I'm your host. It is November or December. In November and December, I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest. You instead find a local food bank and give them either the $10 to $100 that you were going to give the Dork Forest, because I know you were, because I have a PayPal button that you can start donating to again in January. But to find a local food bank in your neighborhood, you can go to feedingamerica.org and you can put in your zip code. If you do not live in the United States, you can put in the name of your town and the word food bank, and it will come up. You can do that here in the United States as well, oddly enough. The internet works like that everywhere, it turns out. So do that. Don't donate to the Dork Forest. If you want to support the Dork Forest still in these months, there are ways. You can get stuff for people for the holidays as trinkets, as gifts. You can get t-shirts and CDs and merch over at JackieCation.com on the store. There's going to be a new stand-up shirt coming out, and that actually will not benefit me. That'll be a benefit for different charities, I think, is what that's going to be. All of it's available digitally, you know, iTunes and Amazon, and Comedy Film Nerds has my DVD as a downloadable video, comedyfilmnerds.com. But if you want hard copies of the DVD of the CDs, you can get them at JackieCation.com. I also have a stand-up comedy t-shirt, my Spooky Reading Girl t-shirts. I have Dork Forest t-shirts and Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts. I have hoodies in stock. It is winter. And so if you want a hooded sweatshirt, zip hoodie, I actually have all the sizes in stock. You can email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, to make sure that they are still in stock at any time, of course. And I will tell you if they are, and if they aren't, it would be back order, and it might be a while. So know in your heart. Other than that, another way to support the show, if you because you're not donating in November and December, is to continue to use the Amazon banner. On JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com, there is a link to support the show, and all it is it's a link through to Amazon. And you order normally, like you would from Amazon, the Dork Forest just gets a little bit of a kickback for your order. It doesn't cost you extra at all. You can see my calendar, where I'm doing stand-up comedy. You can always follow me on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. The Facebook page is JackieCation-JokeSmith. That's my fan page. If you have listened to all 600 and whatever episodes of The Dork Forest and would like more Dork Forest, there are premium episodes, probably a dozen of them. And they are, in the last couple of years, if I do a live episode, it usually costs me some money. So I have been putting them up on Bandcamp, and they cost money. They cost $2 a pop. But if you go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com, you can see those different shows. They're usually live episodes around the world. And there is also four stories on a sort of a handmade storytelling album that I made over there too. And those are just a buck each. So if you want to go to Bandcamp, you can do that as well. Oh, why don't I do the credits? The Dork Forest is not made possible just by me, Jackie Cation. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, by God, and it's going to be great. And Mike Rickberg sang that song you just heard. He composed and sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen. He will sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. And Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He does the website. Go to allthingscomedy.com and find other podcasts there. I also have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show with Laurie Kilmartin on the Nerdist Network. Dorks, nerds, we're all in this together. The Jackie and Laurie Show is literally Laurie Kilmartin and I discussing and just essentially just going off about stand-up comedy. So if you like stand-up comedy, you might like the Jackie and Laurie Show over on Nerdist. Anyway, let's get into this show because it's awesome. Hey, it's Jackie Cation in the living room with fucking Doug Stanhope. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. It's been 92, I think I met you. 90? 92?
Was it?
I think so, yeah. When did you start?
Was it Knuckleheads or Acme?
It would have been Acme.
All right.
Yeah, because you were staying in the condo, and
That was a great condo.
Oh, that condo without the walls didn't go to the ceiling?
Yeah, they made a bedroom where there wasn't one.
Right, just some four wall. Just a little hey, is it
like at
Doug
cubicle
Stanhope?
Bedroom.
Yeah, it was a cubicle bedroom. At Doug Stanhope on Twitter,
yes.
and whatnot?
At Doug Stanhope.
Okay, and then you also, this I did not know until I just followed you on Twitter. I followed you on Twitter, but I just I was scrolling like mentions.
Actually looking at stuff?
Yeah, actually looking at stuff. And so you, when this book came out this year, right?
Yeah.
Like last fucking month or something, right?
No, it just came out yesterday.
Oh, yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, this is not fame.
That's why I'm here.
That's, oh, is
that's
why
I'm in L.A. I have to promote
you're,
this.
You're doing.
Not really good at that.
Right. Well, I mean, you could just, because you've spent 30 years just kind of sitting around doing stand-up.
Yeah, 1990.
And 1990.
Almost
people
28
were in.
Years.
Yeah. And then people still come.
So how long? So you've been doing it almost that long, too.
Well, I count the 80s as 1 year.
You started in the 80s?
84.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I'm 100 years old, Doug Stanhope.
How old are you?
52.
No shit.
No shit. How old are you?
You look like a kid.
Well, I'm very immature, and an extra 30 pounds will do it. It'll fill in all the parts.
Yeah, that blows out the wrinkles.
It really does. And so how old are you?
50.
50. Okay, yeah. So there you go. And it's, I started, I was 19, and then the club burned down, so I only did open mics.
What club?
Sam Kinison's brother, Bill Kinison's club in Madison, Wisconsin. And so it burned down. Thank God they were insured.
That's fucking crazy. I had no idea you've been doing it since 84?
Yeah, it was dumb.
So you were 12?
I was 19.
Not good at math.
Yeah, I'm not good at math. Yeah, no, it's I was 19, and the I got to hear firsthand, like I was the youngest fucking 19-year-old in the world. I lost my virginity to a comic.
Really?
Yes.
Can you name him?
No. He knows.
Is he still a comedian?
He's out there. Yeah, he's out there.
All right.
Yeah, he's working.
Yeah, you've.
Yeah, I've been around for a long time, and but the thing is I heard about you doing stand-up because I think.
Are you funnier than him?
Oh no! Forever, I've always been funnier than him.
Right.
It doesn't. He would even say that.
Right.
I was also a lot meaner than he was.
Like on stage or in the relationship?
In the relationship. I was an asshat. And I've apologized several times. And he's like, and the last time I apologized, he goes, you know, you got to stop apologizing. It wasn't that bad. And I said, I forget how shitty your upbringing was. Like, he had really low expectations of how people should treat him. And I was like, he's married now to a very nice woman. And I was like, oh, thank God.
But you were 19. Everyone's an asshole when they're 19.
It was my first relationship, but I didn't know any better. And he was genuinely in love with Woody Allen. And so he was that. He had Woody Allen's act.
All right.
But from 1968. But then,
all right, so I'm going to start putting this together.
And then, I'll tell you later. Maybe I'll write it down. And you don't
Minneapolis?
Know. No, Milwaukee.
All right.
So anyway, but the thing is, he had some very funny stuff. But my funniest stuff about him, he hasn't done stand up in a long time. He mostly just does commercial work.
All right.
And the nicest guy in the world, by the way, nicest guy in the world. Very funny. I'm funnier only because I never stopped.
And you were both doing comedy at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And he's a couple years older than I am.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
I've only had one comedian relationship, and it was tough.
Right. It was dumb. I was me and five guys. They all moved to Chicago, and I moved to Minneapolis.
All right.
So, but it was the, and I, here's the thing, is I remember you, like, the way you've always done stand-up, this is completely my opinion. I'm going to dork out at you, Doug Stanhope, is what's going to happen.
I want to know what you wrote on the green room wall. I just remember this. At the Acme, there was some back and forth we had from a very drunken night that stayed on that wall like a stain of a shame of a memory that you shouldn't remember.
Yeah, from the early 90s. I don't even remember. And then he painted over it.
Yeah.
And I don't think he even took pictures because it was pre-digital, right? It was like nobody had digital cameras. And yeah, I have no idea. What did you write?
I can't remember. I just had that memory just now. How long have you been sober?
I've been sober for almost 20 years.
Oh, all right.
So, but here's the thing, is back in like 99, if you Googled my name, back when Google was fucking invented, the first thing that came up was your name saying, you know who I like to party with? Jackie Kitchen. Because you You were known to have an adult beverage. You were actually known to whatever somebody hands you to ingest.
Yeah, there were days of that. Any shot that got sent to the stage, you'd drink it.
Right.
And then people would try to fuck with you. I remember doing, it was called an elephant fart or something.
Yeah. But did you ever do that one with the hot sauce?
The tequila and Tabasco.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would make you, because you'd do it on stage, and then your mouth would water and your eyes would water. You couldn't even talk because you're just leaking saliva trying to put out a fire.
It was just foul. I remember, I think I was like, I must have been hungover and doing a show in Mankato, Minnesota, because they sent that shot up.
That place was known for it.
It was, yeah.
TJ's in Mankato. And every week, that's what they did, is see how fucked up they could get the comedian. And it was kind of their thing.
Right. And it was, quite honestly, it was a delight to get as drunk as you could, as free as you could, and then just keep going.
How I remember this night, I have no idea. But I remember I was opening. I was staying in Minneapolis, which is like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And Cindy Eaton was headlining.
Okay. Oh, crying out loud.
I get there early. So I'm there at like 2:30 in the afternoon, and I try to start slow, but still. By 8 o'clock at night, already pretty hammered.
Right.
Then the barrage of shots come up. For the 30 minutes you're up there, it's just, you can't even finish a sentence, and there's another shot, and I'm drinking them all, and I'm spinning.
Right. And
got through my show. Ran, stumbled, head first, stumbled to my car, which is parked directly in front, crawled in, laid across the front seat, bench seat.
Yeah.
And I'm just complete bed spins in the car, but I can hear the show. And Cindy Eaton, she's a very meek woman.
Right, right. Just
I hear
Minnesotan
her,
ideal.
Yeah. Hear her start her show, and within 3 minutes, I hear, "Oh, thank you, but I don't drink." And I ran back in, grabbed the shot from the guy that was holding it out on stage, slammed it, went back to the car, threw up everywhere.
Oh, God.
Got back at last call. I woke up. I came in, and there was a cop in there. And I said, "Can you give me a DUI test? Because I don't want to drive."
That's hilarious.
He's like, "If you have to ask me, then just don't drive."
Don't drive. Yeah.
But it's one of those.
That's a great way to troubleshoot a DUI. I got two DUIs.
Did you?
So the way to troubleshoot the DUI is to find the cop. Could I get, have you ever gotten one?
One time I did, not the breathalyzer, but it was St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Doing a one-nighter somewhere in Oregon.
Yep.
And I got pulled over. I was with Wiley Roberts. I don't know if you know Wiley.
I don't know Wiley Roberts, but I
and
want
we're
to.
Driving back from the bar, and I'm borderline.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, pull up on the driver's side. I think I know that chick. I'm in the right lane. I go all the way to the third lane, the left lane, pull up beside her. Oh, never mind. That's not her. Oh, you got to take a right.
Oh.
So I swerve back. There's a cop behind me, pulls me over. And he gave me the
nose to
finger
the
finger to the nose.
Lock.
And, look in my eyes. And whatever license I had, it said previous license, Massachusetts. And he goes, "Oh, you're from Mass?" And I go, "Yeah." He's, "Oh, me too. I just moved out."
Yeah.
So, we had a...
Oh, the moment, and he let you go.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of guys let me go.
But I said I hadn't drank at all.
Yeah. Well, the first time, the first DUI, it's a classic story of me not knowing what the fuck I'm doing, is the cop pulls me over and he goes, "Ma'am, have you been drinking?" And I said, "I am drunk." And he goes, "Wow. Wish you hadn't said that." And then he literally did me the favor, because middle-aged white lady at the time, not so. But white lady cred is he had me sit in the car 45 minutes before he gave me the breathalyzer.
Oh, wow.
So I only blew like a 187. So it was a lot lower than, and I wasn't good at, I totally.
Only a 187?
Right. I probably would have blown over a 2 if it would have been right away. But it was just dumb. I wasn't good at drive. And then this guy that I had a crush on said, "Hey, would you give me a ride home?" And so I was like, "Oh, yeah, totally." Thinking this was it. This was going to be the time when we finally hooked up. Well, we never did hook up. He didn't particularly like me. And then we ended up, but he did wait outside the police station all day. And he sent a note in to the drunk tank. And I was there with like 5 other women, all of them just like, at least 3 of them were black. And the other 2, one was Asian. I mean, I was the only white woman. And they said, why are you in? And I said, and I told the story about telling the cop that. And this one woman goes, you're the dumbest white woman I've ever met in my life. And I was like, fair enough, fair enough. But I remember, like, when you, because the way you do stand-up is so great. I genuinely, I fucking love it. And it's edgy, but it's not, it's what I was told when I first started, which was not to be edgy for the purpose of being edgy. You're, to some extent, you're edgy for the purpose of being edgy, but there's always a fucking punchline. There's always a point, and it, and I've said this a million times, it never comes from like a place of malice. You're just like, what the fuck? Why
sometimes
not?
If it's edgy for the sake of being edgy, just because I'll
you're just kind of button pushing.
I'll push a point into it.
I
really want to do this bit, and I know it's just so I can say whatever.
Right, so you can say some nightmare.
Kick fuck or something.
Yeah, exactly.
What if I put that? I'll just cement a point onto the front of this. And
so I can say the crazy. But I remember the first time I was like, do you remember what year you did the closer? It was like maybe a year or 2 years. Your closer was the thing with the bottle.
Oh, the beer bottle. Yeah. I used that as a closer for years.
And well, you ought to have, because it was almost impossible.
It just
impossible.
Destroyed so much.
Yeah. And it was, I remember hearing like secondhand, like just, you know, comics just sitting around going, yeah, they got to headline them now. They just can't, I mean, nobody can fucking, because you, it was a great story about pornos back when we called them pornos.
Yeah.
And you would shake pornos. And you'd shake the beer bottle and spray it all over your face.
Back when porn was a physical item.
It was a physical item.
You throw some porn in.
Throw some porn in. Go get some porn. We're going to watch some porn instead of we're going to constantly be watching porn.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, but I remember, so that was like most of the mid-90s, right?
It was, mid-late 90s.
Yeah, like 96 to...
I know I put it on my first DVD I did. I put it on there. I wasn't doing the bit anymore, but I thought, why not throw that in for old time's sake?
The vagina t-shirt joke that I put on the Bread album from 2003 was easily from 96 or 97.
Yeah, what was that?
It was that I got a massage down on Venice Beach and the guy...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was in my pants, and I was like, nope. And then somebody wanted me to sell a t-shirt.
Oh, that, so you must have talked about this on that podcast I listened to. I'm like, well, yeah, we just talked about this. I haven't talked to you, really.
I know, we haven't
No, you were talking about it on that podcast.
On the Jack and Lori?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. It was. Oh, I was talking about how...
Wait, that's a different podcast altogether?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
I told you that.
I don't listen. I don't remember.
Right. You're just plugging along, man. You're trying to sell a book. This is not fame. So is this some? And it's, I love from what I memoir. That's funny.
It was clever for a minute, and then Hennigan says, "Oh no, you should use that," and I still hate it.
It's a, but that's because it's wordplay. And
yeah.
You're like, well, fuck you, wordplay.
I'm not
except
a wordplay
for that,
guy.
It's adorable. And
God damn it, sorry.
You're
I
very
just
popular.
This.
Dunkin' Donuts is calling you. That's
it. I'm shutting it off. Don't worry.
That's fine. It's usually my phone. One of mine goes off.
I think yours just vibrated.
It could have. Let's look at it. Oh, yeah. Look, I got a lot of Kyle Clark and Lori Kilmartin. I'm getting a lot of... I was actually getting stand-up information from Kyle Clark. Because what I did was I texted both... I texted Kilmartin. I was like, what do you want to ask him? And... check it. I might have just booked a gig on a plane on Southwest.
Really?
Yeah, that's what that text just said.
Oh, that would be horrible. Remember the... Oh, I don't know if it's in this book or the last book.
Yeah, what was the last book called? It was about
Digging
your mom,
Up Mother.
Right? Yeah, it was about your mom, right? Oh, my God. It has one of the middle... This book, which is This Is Not Fame, has the middle section with pictures in it, like old-timey memoirs used to.
I got to point this picture out to you, because I could have never known what was going to be happening when this came out, when we actually turned
it in. Is
it
the dick pic?
pulling my dick out in front of Louis C.K.
Oh, my God. That is Louis C.K.
Oh, perfectly
and that is your
timed.
Penis. It is perfectly timed. It's,
I think it's actually a ball in the process of being pulled out.
Right. It's just you.
Either way.
But you're constantly dropping trial. You used to drop your pants all the time. But the crazy thing is there was one that you also posted on the on Twitter.
Oh, last night? Yeah,
last night. And my favorite thing about both of these pictures is that nobody's looking at you. Everyone's just looking at the camera. Hey. Yeah, so there's a picture of you pulling out your penis.
Well, there's a whole chapter about, you know, I used to just go on stage naked and just pull my dick out all the time for no reason.
At Christmas, you'd put the hat over it. If it was a PG-13, remember?
Yeah, at Acme.
At Acme, that was always a seasonal thing you did there.
No, around that time, I wore a Santa hat year round for about a year.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah.
I had a headshot with a Santa hat for no reason.
For no reason, and it was Christmas in July, as far as you were concerned.
Sure.
So that was the other thing you did that I thought was fascinating.
Also, repulsively sweaty when you wear a Santa hat all summer long. Yeah, it gets pretty gamey.
That's where all your heat goes.
You're really
out of your
committed
head.
To the joke.
Yes. What about you were the one who first did that thing that everybody does now. A lot of the next generations down do, where they just go to a town, find a music venue, and are like, if I can get 50 people to pay $10,
right,
and I can sleep in my car if I have to, but you know, maybe they'll let me crash in their house.
You're going
to
make more than you would for a whole week at fucking Harvey's Comedy Club or
something.
Right,
right. Yeah. So it was, but you were the one who started doing, you were the first I heard about it, you know?
I think some of the alt guys were doing it before me. I think David Cross, at least. Yeah,
did he? You think
a couple
he might
of those
have?
Guys okay. were doing that before me?
And then I know that after you, Tig Notaro started doing this thing where she'd go and do shows in people's living rooms.
Yeah, did you do that with her?
I never. No, I was like, I'm gonna need.
I
a
forget
hotel.
Who was on that. I remember she was touring with that.
Yeah.
And then she made a special out of it.
Chris Fairbanks, maybe.
Could be.
Mm. Whatever, but it was. I mean, it always seemed like I liked the idea better. The idea of going and doing like these weird venues, and I did that like in the South. Like there's like a tiny place in Birmingham you can go up, and a place in
Zydeco.
There I didn't do any Zydeco, a Zydeco club.
Zydeco is one I play in Birmingham.
Oh wow. It was not big. It was nice. It was only like, it probably only sat 120.
Oh shit, is it the place or like things around back? It's almost kind of like a house almost.
It was dank. It had the good darkness that you want in a venue. That's all I remember. I don't remember. I mean, the thing is, I don't drink anymore. Can't remember shit. So it doesn't
even
matter.
Yeah, I like that. I like when people my age that don't drink have some of the same
stuff.
Yes.
Might as well. Yeah, do
all right, you can't blame it all on the booze.
Nope.
My friends are just as fucking clueless as I am. What year was that? What decade was that?
Could have been anything. Could have been anything. But I always wanted to do. But I liked. I liked that because you would go. And the other thing you did that I thought was, I wanted to do it, but I didn't care enough. And I couldn't, like, the way you do your career is, it's proof that we can all do it different ways. Like, who cares, right? Like, because you would drive to a place and go, no, I'd like to showcase, instead of me sending a VHS and then being
ignored. Oh, because I lived on the road anyway. So
yeah.
If I was in a town on a night off, I'm driving probably from Mankato, Minnesota to San Angelo, Texas.
Right.
With 10 days off in the middle. Sure, I'll stop in Des Moines and do a guest set.
Yeah, see if that guy will book you and do a guest set, but it was a great way. Like, it's, you know, the whole thing about stand up is hanging out anyway. That's the only way to get work.
Yeah.
Is if you hang out, and so if you could drive there and hang out for a night, that's going to make a bigger impact.
God, how many comedians do you know that just still work to this day only because they're a really cool guy? And everyone's, Zach is...
He's just out of... I had a guy that...
But he plays golf with the owner, and they smoke cigars.
Oh, the golf guys are the worst, man. The golf guys and the... there was a guy I opened for, literally, and he was... We were drunk when he said this, so he might deny it. But he was a Louisiana guy, and his wife won the lottery. And he might have had Cajun in his name. And
the Raging Cajun.
It might have been.
No, that's Carolyn Picard.
And
is
then
it Russ Nagel?
Yes.
Yeah.
His name's Russ Nagel. And he introduced me to that guy who's kind of the real deal, like a blue collar guy, like a cowboy guy, lives in Tulsa.
Oh, Robert.
Rodney Carrington.
Oh, okay.
Rodney Carrington, who... I never saw him do stand-up, but those two guys hung out one night. I was featuring at Tulsa for Randy What's-His-Face, who with the mullet, who's dead now. And I don't know.
He booked Fort Worth?
Yeah. He booked, they owned Tulsa and they owned Cap City.
Hyenas?
Before.
There's a Randy at Hyenas.
He's, this right. guy's dead though.
Okay.
And he like, the guy was always nice. He was nice enough to me, but gross. Like I the one time I headlined, it was a New Year's Eve, and he came on stage at midnight and French kissed me for no reason. Just completely unsolicited. I was like, what just happened? Somebody get me a shot. Just let's kill the germs. Yeah. Of
disinfect
crazy.
This mouth, please.
Disinfect my mullet mouth. And but Russ Nagel and him got along really well. And it was why I got to headline and come back, because he hated all comics except Russ Nagel for some reason. And Russ Nagel was super drunk and he said, my wife won the lottery. I'm not very good at stand-up, but I'm really fun to hang out with. And that's why I work. And he worked for like 30 weeks a year. And he was a classic. He's probably still working. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he?
Forget the last time I ran into him, but he'd show up
there.
In the Houston scene a lot.
Yeah.
That was a scene. I don't know. Is there a scene anywhere anymore?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that they're, but they, like I just got
Minneapolis was a scene with us.
Right. That was a scene where and you'd hang out on Mondays at Acme, and then you'd go on Tuesdays to Knuckleheads, and then on Sundays there was some other fucking thing that you could go into a basement over by Nice.
But all those scenes they build up. And then all the good people, all the staples, move to L.A. or New York.
Right.
And then it just kind of dies on the vine, but it started. And then it was Houston.
Yep.
Was a huge scene.
Right. I never got in. There's, outside of Dallas, there's like a four-wall comedy club in like a best, like a Hilton or something, right? Owned by Linda Stogner. Linda
no
Stogner.
Idea.
That sounds right. Anyway, she... But she owns this club. She's actually really funny. She's like super dark, kind of like Martha Kelly, but mean. Which doesn't, I'm sure if either
I think
of
Martha
those,
Kelly is secretly mean.
I'm sure Martha Kelly would be the first person to tell you that she's secretly mean.
I don't know how she'd show it. But.
She'd probably say something cutting under her breath. That'd show you. But Stogner, and I'm sure both Linda and Martha, if they're listening, are like, what just happened? Why are you hitting me? And but who knows? But it was like you didn't have an apartment. Right?
For 3 years, from 92 to 95, I was just out of my car.
And what kind of car was it?
Six different cars, all pieces of shit.
All just one $500 car after another that would just die.
Dodge Omni 024, and then a Ford Escort, and then...
Escort?
Like, Chevy Love pickup truck with the floor rusted through so you could... On the passenger side, you could literally see the road going by underneath your feet.
Yeah, those are...
Had Guy O'Bealum and Wiley Roberts both, where I was the opener, but I had to drive the headliner on the one-nighters, and they both get to ride in that Chevy Love. You'd hit a puddle, and it'd spray up on their ankles, and God damn it.
That's so funny. And Guy O did the Dork Forest, and he came to me, and he was like...
Did he know what podcast he was doing? Where's Lori Kilmartin?
Here's my dorkdom, he goes to me. My dorkdom is weed... And sex. And I was like, that's everybody's dorkdom. You don't get to have that. And then he opened his trunk and he had 30 different kinds of marijuana in his trunk. And I was like, okay, it's like tea to you. I mean, yes, you're a dork about that. And I just saw him in San Francisco like a month ago. And he had some woman with him. I think it's a committed girlfriend. And I mentioned that sex was his. And he was like, thanks a lot for that. That's great. And I was like, again, 4 years ago, I cannot be responsible for. Did she think she was getting a virgin? What happened? It's.
My things change, and I get rid of them. Like for a while, I was I got every football helmet on eBay till I had all 32.
Oh, really?
You know, full size.
Like real.
Not real, but replicas, but full size.
But the full size ones.
Yeah, not player ready. Some of them were actually.
Huh.
And I get them cheap.
And they were the like the current logos, or
it depends.
Or it didn't matter?
No, if they're like vintage. The best logos, like old Patriots, the creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that light orange, the best uniform ever. So after I get all the uniforms, then I started getting all the jerseys.
Okay.
And then I get the home and away jerseys. And then if people show, when people showed up for football, I'd make them wear, wait, you're a Packers fan? Hang on. I'd make them wear a Packers jersey so everyone was suited up for the game.
Oh, that's funny.
And then it just got stupid and ridiculous. And then I sold them all on eBay.
Oh, there you go.
Now I collect racist signs, racist, sexist.
Like actual signs that someone like old, went to Kinko's?
Colored only sign.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no, they're like, those are plaques that were screwed into walls.
Oh, like you could only use a bubbler if you're white? Or the water fountain? Bubbler. Hi, I'm from Milwaukee. Yeah. Okay, so.
We don't serve Indians liquor after sundown.
Yeah.
Japanese internment signs from World War II.
Wow, man.
Anything that says gay on it, like gay Johnny's vegetables and gay this. And
anything that says gay on it. Have a gay old time.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. The
town's gay spot, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Pickaninny Freeze was some kind of, I don't know, like ice cream treat, but it had the like Sambo era shit.
Rare. Did you ever do that? You ever see the Thrifty Scotsman? It was like a white hen pantry. It was like a 7-Eleven, but in the South, the Thrifty Scotsman.
Oh, I gotta get one of those.
Yeah, it was. There was a guy who did a joke about it. A Jewish guy who said a Jewish comic. I don't know if you know this. Some Jews do stand up, but he did this.
But they don't talk about
it.
They
never talk about it. And he said, but he had a great joke. He said you couldn't call a convenience store the Frugal Jew. You couldn't do it. The Thrifty Scotsman, though, for some reason, the Scots don't care. And yeah, you should. You gotta get that.
Yeah, there's a lot of sexist ones. It's a man's world, like actual.
Oh right.
Not advertisements.
Yeah.
Show her it's a man's world.
Oh my God.
Van Heusen ties or something.
Right. There's a lot of cigarette ones that are like, or you show up. I used to have this book about, it's actually a very funny book about what you should do 45 minutes to an hour before your husband gets home from work. It was how to be a good wife. And it was written in like 52. And it was 45 minutes before he gets home. You know, dinner's, of course, cooking. But start cleaning up the house. Tidy up the house so that when he comes in, it's relaxed. Turn off the TV. Maybe put on some music. But just kind of bring it down because he's going to be coming home from
work.
You
should have gotten that as a tattoo.
And my favorite one was clean the kids up. So that the kids are tidy, so that when he sees them, they're tidy. And make sure you do your hair. Make sure you do your hair and your makeup. Make sure you look fresh for him, too. And so then...
How many of our parents would still be together if they just paid attention?
If someone would fucking do that, I think everybody should do that. If somebody's at home all day and the other person's coming home, why don't you spend a minute? Take a look around the house. Because who wants to walk into squalor? Nobody. I mean, I don't ever look in the mirror. I only look.
I don't have mirrors.
I don't. I stayed in a hotel that had a scale a couple of weeks ago. I was like, fuck you. And then I stood on it and I was like, oh, fuck me. All right. Well, I guess.
I have a scale, but no mirrors.
No mirrors. No mirrors at all. You don't even look like.
There's one that's built into the wall that I can't get rid of, but it's like all fucked up and is behind a door.
Oh, there
like
you go.
If I had to have a mirror, if I had to see how something
like looked. Medicine cabinet, like brush your teeth.
Like that, but it's in a bedroom. It's a wall size mirror, but.
We have full, and they were in this house when we moved in. They're, you know, the doors, the slidey doors for the for the closet, they're both giant mirrors that we never use. And I don't even know. I mean, whenever I'm like I'm always in the bathroom going, I wonder how this shirt looks. And I got a full-size mirror, three of them. It's huge.
You just forget.
I don't care. I don't have it in me.
I hate mirrored elevators when you're just going down at the Hampton Inn and you're going to fight old people for a waffle and it's a mirror there and it's just reflecting all the mistakes of the night before.
I fucking years love to come. A Hampton Inn though. I genuinely, it's my favorite place to stay. I don't want a cup of waffle. But I want to be offered a cup of waffle.
Right.
Because maybe one day I'm going to say.
A cup of waffle.
It's just, you know, they pour out the liquid and it's all pre-portioned. And then.
Paper cup.
But it's I'm the accidental tourist now. I definitely want it all to look the same.
I'm such a slave to corporate on so many levels just because I need to know what I'm going to eat. I rarely eat. I have to eat before I go on stage because I'm going to be drinking. If I don't eat, I'm going to be a mess too quickly.
Right.
And this is your one shot. I'm not going to go, you have to try Aunt Lulu's on the corner. It's a staple of our town. It's Like, no, I'm not taking chances.
Right. What? So what's a standard meal?
Let's see. For corporate, like Red Robin has a chicken dish with a kind of like almost hollandaise sauce that I like.
Like a smothered chicken kind of situation?
It's not. It's more of like a butter sauce. It's not too rich.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I do a lot with of like fast food. What's your fast food?
Not a lot, but when I eat fast food, it is literally a sausage and egg McMuffin.
Really?
From McDonald's.
I'm not against it.
No, and then I will. And then last time I went, they weren't doing breakfast all day, but I think you can get them anytime now. But
yeah,
I would get the Happy Meal. I like a hamburger Happy Meal.
Really?
And whatever the fucking toy is, because I want the toy. Yeah. Huh. And it's not a lot of food, and it's going to be plenty.
I like Wendy's because you can get a baked potato and it doesn't feel as grotesque as a lot of the sandwiches.
Yeah, you know that the thing that Wendy's is famous for, supposedly, some headliner told me when we were in a car for too long, is they never freeze their meat. They get a meat delivered every day fresh.
Yeah, they advertise that.
Oh, is that advertised?
And okay.
You don't care?
God damn it. No, they closed the thing. And that's why we're the sponsor of the... That's why the NFL is... you're sponsoring the NFL because you give them money,
right?
The NFL doesn't say because you don't freeze your meat,
right?
We like you to no,
it, right? They don't give a shit.
One of those me yelling at a TV over minutia moments.
Do you ever go to like In-N-Out?
Really like burgers. I will eat like fast food burgers. I'll eat a Wendy's Junior Bacon Cheeseburger.
Okay,
but I don't like real meaty like
right. What are you?
It's all a conduit for the condiment. Well, I don't.
Yeah, but if you have, you got to have some bread though. Like if you're going to be drinking.
Oh, I'll dork out on you. This is what I do for breakfast when fast food.
Yeah.
Subway breakfast sandwich.
Oh, really?
Egg white.
Uh huh.
On flatbread, six-inch flatbread, wheat. I say wheat, even though I'm not going to eat it, because what you do is you hold it and you peel off the bread.
Yeah.
A little at a time, like when you're eating a burrito,
right.
It's still wrapped. And you never have to eat the bread. Just tear it away, eat a bite, because that egg white pockets all the veggies.
Oh, okay.
And the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And the Parmesan cheese, which is very important.
So it's essentially like an omelet in between, in like a thing that holds it.
Right.
And then you just peel it back.
You're using
eat
that
the thing
as
in
a
the
napkin.
Middle. Yeah, that's your plate.
And that way you're not eating all that fucking bread.
Right. So you don't even like to eat.
Not a big eater. I like to eat at home. I like to cook for myself.
What do you make? Do you eat meat? You eat meat.
Yeah, I eat meat.
Yeah. So, like, do you, like, Andy just made this thing last night. It's nice. It's essentially, it's called a turkey, chicken tarragon popover. Whatever. It's essentially eggs and, like, it's puff pastry, like a popover with a piece of chicken into it. And that's spiced with tarragon. It's lovely. Anyway,
I'm not a good cook, but I know what I like.
Rick, everyone can make like three things though.
Yeah, for football, I just whatever cooks in a crock pot. If I'm cooking for people,
chili.
Yeah, pot roast / beef stew, whatever it is. Packaged chili. I don't know how to make that from scratch.
Okay,
but usually just shredded beef, shredded chicken for tacos, pulled pork sandwiches, anything that.
Right, and you do like one crock pot, or do you have more than one crock pot?
Just one.
Just one, and it's, and so what I'm getting, and this is what I like to get right around minute 40, people's actual dorkdoms, which might be football.
Football, I don't even know if I like it anymore.
Right.
I've been watching it my whole life. I don't know how it works.
Right.
I don't know what a split, defense, 4-6... I don't know what a safety does versus a cornerback. I know they're on defense.
Right. What's the do you know how many points you get for a touchback versus a safety?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I know those things.
Those are words that I there's one of them's 2 points, one of them's three, right? Or one of them's
field goal is three.
Yep.
Safety is two. A touchback isn't a score.
It isn't a score at all.
No,
there's nothing happening there. Okay, just good to know. It's sports are my life. I think that's been established.
We have five screens, and so you'll have four different games, and then the fifth screen you put on Red Zone, and Red Zone is a channel where they go immediately to whatever game is closest to scoring, like any team that's within the 20 yards to the
The whole channel?
In the red zone. And if there's a couple teams, they'll split screen it. They'll go four screens if there's four teams in the red zone. And so I have no idea who players are anymore.
Right.
You used to have to watch a game with commercials.
Right.
And you'd know all about the one guy and his stats and where he went to,
college and all that thing. But now it's just
Constant chaos. And who do I have money on? Oh, shit, they're covering now. But now they're not covering. Fucking Chiefs.
Do you really have several televisions?
Yeah, five.
You have five.
Like a little sports bar at the house.
Oh, at the house. Because you're in the middle of Nevada. No, Arizona. You're in the middle of Arizona.
Yeah, it's a nowhere town, and it's an artist town, if anything.
Yeah.
So all the bars are...
And then you have a podcast, too, right?
Yeah.
What's the podcast called?
The Doug Stanhope Podcast.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting choice of title.
I changed it for a minute. It was the Doug Stanhope Shot Clog Podcast, just because I love the word.
Shot clog?
It's some antiquated word, and it means a person that you tolerate, an irritant that you tolerate because they're buying drinks. I go, that's what I've become.
Yeah, that's a real job.
Yes.
That's a real person out there. That's,
love the word, but...
Shot clog. That's it. I like... So essentially, you set up like a little sports bar in your house,
right?
And it's
but then we stopped doing football because like over the years it just got out of control, and then there's 25 people there, and most of them don't watch football, and
right, they're just hanging out,
and then they bring their friends, and then over a course of time, friends stay, but the other guy that you knew originally isn't there, and now they're bringing friends, and I don't know half the people, it seems.
Right, right.
So you kind of shut that down.
Yeah, you got to shut that down. Either that or start charging an entrance fee, and then you'll have a business that you also don't want to run.
Well, I'd be hosting the whole time. I'd be running food in and out. And shit and ice and is that empty? I'll fill that up, and I never watch the games.
Right. So now you could just watch the game and just sit around. And how much are you on the road right now?
I'm off the road now. I was on the road most of the last 6 months, and now I'll be off till March.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's great. I've been trying to do. Do you have a theme, like a theory as to? Because I've been trying to do, like. 3 weeks a month, 3 weeks a month, and then take 5 weeks off. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Turns out you're either rich or poor.
If I take more than even a week now, I lose all momentum. I have to go back and re-listen to the last
set I did
to remember all the beats. And my memory just shits the bed almost instantaneously. Once I have the trappings of home, I don't think about comedy at all.
So will you spend these 3 months just kind of writing whatever comes to mind but not performing?
If something is, I know it's still going to be relevant.
Yeah.
That's the other hard part is the news cycle. Something that was the biggest thing in the fucking world yesterday is done and gone in a week. So I'm not writing it down. If it's still in play,
it'll come up.
Or
again.
If it's something evergreen, I'll shuffle over to a notebook eventually. I'll write it on my hand till I pass a notebook, then transfer it from my hand.
And then transfer it to a notebook.
We were just talking. I forget who, but we're talking about writing on planes. Well, you don't drink, so
right. But I write on planes. That's all I do.
And someone was saying that they have their best. I think it was Kreischer.
Okay.
I get my best stuff drinking on airplanes. And I go, I have stacks of Delta napkins where I go, what in the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah.
Just exclusively airplane drinking. I don't know if it's because of the altitude.
It is because of the altitude.
Drunker quicker, but.
Yeah.
And they're usually very angry points of view.
Oh, my entire blog is dedicated to me ranting on airplanes. That's all it is. And sometimes I'll get bits out of it and sometimes I won't. But it's just like, hey, I'm on an airplane. What about this fucking injustice? And it goes on. You naturally
get into a bad mood.
And it doesn't even matter. Like the last time there was a guy sitting next to me, I was slightly jealous because he had, was it 7 rum and cokes?
I remember you were talking about that when I was listening to the
Jackie
and Lori show.
Yeah.
And I was going, Seven rum and cokes is about what it takes for me to get the shakes off.
Well, and I imagine.
And that was in a 6-hour flight, too.
Yeah, it was a really long flight. And
it's almost sober. Like you say, your body processes like one cocktail per hour.
Right. The fact that he was getting any kind of a hairy eyeball from that lady, I was like, "You, who cares? Just bring him the bottle. He'll be fine." And so, whatever.
I bring my own bottles. And have you noticed this? Now they're. Because even in the book, I have.
Yeah.
Drunk traveling tips.
Yeah, yeah.
Like how to, you know.
How to make it through.
Yeah. Have your own bar when you go through security. Your one quart bag for your liquids.
Yep.
For your shampoos. That holds 10 mini bottles.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Fucking get shampoo at the Hampton Inn when you get there.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need
to. You bring
shampoo.
An empty travel mug.
Mm-hmm.
Get those little packets of emergencies. It's a great dry mixer. Yeah, yeah.
Right. There's a mimosa happening right there or screwdriver. That's what I'm thinking of. It was. I remember the first time I flew. I must have been 19 or 20, and I flew to New York, and they ran out of breakfasts. And the woman next to me was like, "You can have my breakfast. Give me a couple of bottles." And it was back when they had those tiny. They still have them. They still have them. Yeah.
They usually mix it for you.
Right. They mix it for you, and it's not. You're like, so you fly mostly Delta 2?
Yeah.
Are you Delta 1?
No, that's Delta Diamond.
I'm Diamond.
All right.
I'm Diamond as well. But
yeah, United is the Y2K, but 1-2.
They added Delta 1, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they added a thing above Diamond because clearly too many people are. And they also did another thing. If you next time you
Are
go
you
through,
sure about this?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a
separate.
I know
Delta 1 is, I know that's a section above first class.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it was a.
I don't know if it's attainable, like just through miles.
Oh, you might. Is it one of those?
Like, I think you have to be either invited
tapped.
Or yeah.
Yeah, I know something. American has one of those where it's who gets in is a secret,
right?
Or like getting verified on Twitter,
right? Like who? I don't even. You're verified, right?
Yeah.
I'm verified because I talked. Some woman emailed me years ago, and she goes, "Hey, I work at Twitter. Do you want a tour of Twitter?"
Did you go?
No.
Oh, it's fucking great. You have to go. It's wicked good. They have like a Caesar's Palace buffet for the cafeteria with a DJ hammering jams.
Okay.
Every other office room you look in has either foosball or centipede.
Yeah.
Just really, is any work getting done?
I know, but I went to the, not Brooks Brothers. That's the clothing. This is a great episode of the Dork Forest where I can't fucking find the words. Anyway, so, but the, what's the, Bloomberg. I went to the Bloomberg offices in Hong Kong. And
wait,
they,
Bloomberg?
Yeah.
The
finance banana heads.
Yeah.
And, I'm on like the, and it's, and all of Hong Kong looks like Blade Runner. So I'm on like floor 97. There was no comedy. The guy who booked Hong Kong worked at Bloomberg and had one of the greatest stories about how he was in charge of like HR for South Asia and not even Southeast Asia. So all of like India and stuff. And so it was him and another guy. They let the other guy go. And then they didn't hire someone. So he tried to do both of their jobs for like 6 months or a year. And then his boss calls him in and goes, "Hey," so he was given like 150%. And his boss calls him in like 6 months into it and goes, "Hey, you're falling behind. There's been some trouble with you're not getting all the work done." He goes, "You know, I'm doing two people's job." And the guy goes, "Yeah, you really got to step up." And he walked out of the office going, "Now giving 20% and no shits." And literally it took him a year and a half for them to fire him. And so they fired him the week that I was playing Hong Kong. And he said, the funniest thing is, so they give me my notice and they give me my severance package. And I sent them back a counteroffer for my severance package. And he said, today, H&R, this lady called me from H&R and said, HR, and said, "Hey, you didn't sign the severance package. We have to keep paying you until you sign it." And he's like, "You aren't good at this at all. Did you get my counteroffer?" And I don't know how it ended up, but hopefully he got more money out of him than.
What does he have to do with the comedy now?
He's just a guy does open mic and then books. He booked me to come do stand up.
So you did do stand up.
Yeah, I did. I did four shows. He put me up for 10 days.
All right, cool. Yeah. Because I'm going, that's where I go in March, is I'm doing a bunch of Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia kind of stuff?
Hong Kong, Singapore, Ho Chi Minh City.
Oh, wow,
Bangkok,
man.
Somewhere else in Thailand I can't pronounce.
Super fun.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
I hope so. I don't know.
Well, they have, the craziest thing about Hong Kong is that Hong Kong, the one guy owns the subway system and he built it. Like, he's like, it's like when capitalism works, right? Essentially, he owned a piece of land and he owned another piece of land and he built a mall with a bunch of 7-Elevens.
Is he an Atlas Shrugged?
He isn't even an Atlas Shrugged guy because he's...
Say one guy owns all the railways and one guy owns built the power company. And...
Kind of, but he mostly, like, he has some sort of, he's crazy like Teddy Roosevelt, but he has like some sense of like give back to, he's like, I'm going to also create the national forest. Like, he literally, most of Hong Kong is a national forest.
We're talking about this guy as though he's still alive. Really?
Yeah. He's still alive. The octopus card, you'll get an octopus card. You can use it on the subway system. You can also use it at 7-Eleven and at any vending machine. The guy, I don't know, he's probably Hearst. He's probably immortal and is still alive but it was the craziest. I was like, please come to L.A. and build a 7-Eleven to another 7-Eleven to another 7-Eleven, and then we'll have a subway system. And then the Angeles Forest won't burn down. I don't know why. Because I think the guy, he's one of these Chinese guys who is a genius, you know? And, you know, like Lewis
I'm
Lee.
Lewis Lee. I think he's in the book.
Is Lewis Lee in the book?
Hang on.
Man.
Supposed to be.
You know that there's a new documentary out that Josh Weinstein directed? Of Chad Daniels, Tom Segura.
What a difficult time to be in show business and have that last name.
Lee or Segura?
No, Weinstein.
Oh, Josh Weinstein. He was the guy, he was Freaks and Geeks guy, also from Minneapolis. And
all right. Well, if the picture's in here, it was supposed to be.
Yep.
It was a Lewis Lee. You know how the club owners will oftentimes put a list of rules in the green room?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how much time you're doing and don't say this say this and don't use
don't
these
an
words. And,
what was Lewis's?
No fucking or sucking with my wait staff. This is means you, Doug Stanhope.
Oh, my God. Did you take a picture of it?
Yeah, I still have the actual sign and I sent it to him to put in the book. So it's not in with the pictures. So if it's in here, it would be
somehow separate.
Yeah.
And good Lord, the pictures are insane. Okay, you guys, you should watch This Is Not, you should buy and read This Is Not Fame from What I Rememoir. Doug Stanhope, it's at Doug Stanhope. And
sorry, I hope I was dorky enough for you. You know what I just thought of, and it's too late.
What?
And I'm just too lazy to actually change. If there's anything I dork out about, it's my fucking suits.
Do you get
excessive hoarding amounts of 70s leisure,
the
polyester
leisure
used car salesman plaid jackets?
Are you going to get a suit made in Hong Kong?
No, these are all vintage 70s.
Oh, that you get off of the... Okay, so they're polyester. So
yeah.
They don't even burn. They melt.
Right.
How? What?
Yeah, my neighbor was telling me how he had some vintage wool suit and he said it just get eaten by moths.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said I had mothballs and everything. And I go, I don't even have mothballs. And I'm like, holy shit. I started to panic and then I realized, no, that's all hard polyester.
Yeah, that's
no
all
moth
oil,
on earth.
Oil-based.
Yeah.
So what about... how many colors? Because it's always brightly colored.
De-hoarded down to, I didn't count the jackets, probably down to like 38 jackets.
Okay.
And
matching
70
pants?
Or 80 shirts, vintage shirts, and probably about that many pairs of pants, about 60 pairs of pants.
So you get them off of eBay or wherever,
eBay,
right?
Vintage shops, thrift stores.
And what you're looking for is something that's from the 70s.
Yeah.
And what do you, I mean, you're kind
loud.
Of loud. You're loud is good, but you're a pretty good sized guy for that because it's, what are you, 5'8", 5'10"?
Yeah, 5'8".
Yeah.
Barely.
And okay,
5'7" with the alcoholic posture.
And the but most clothes will fit you, because
I do very well in jackets. If 40 is pretty standard.
That's amazing.
Yeah, if I quit smoking again and I gain another pant size, I get it. If I hit a 34, that you're finding a lot. 32, oh, not as much, but
not as much. Okay, well, you just wear a bigger belt,
mm-hmm.
and then so. What
or
colors?
Just stop buying the shit. Whole gambit from.
And so when
I have my
you
plaids
sell.
And solids separate, and my plaid pants. I spend more time working on an outfit or outfits for the road.
Yeah.
Than I do on my act.
Right. Well.
Bingo. What is this? Which tie? This one. This one. This one. Or this one.
Thick ties? You go in 70s ties?
Try
too?
The thicker the better, the wider.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And
I have vintage, a bunch of different vintage Delta tie tacks.
Oh, really?
And clips, pins.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Where do they?
It's helped me not get shut off or thrown off planes a lot of times is to always be sporting my Delta wardrobe.
Oh, my God.
I have some 1984 free drink coupons that someone sent me.
What?
And
oh, my God. That's awesome.
Be dressed like that and try to pass off a 1984 free drink coupon. Like
you will get a laugh.
There's no expiration date on them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you probably get bumped up a fair amount anyway, so it's all free anyway. But
yeah,
but that's hilarious. Are you just showing them to you, or have you given them?
When I was in coach.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit, I'm on coach. I didn't get bumped up. Yeah, I'm bringing my vintage.
Oh, I got bumped up yesterday, day before yesterday, and Maria did not, and so she was in. She was in economy again, and she's like, I can't believe. And
oh, you talked about that, because her husband.
It happened again.
Her boyfriend, her husband, is not.
Yeah, because he's not diamond.
He's not eligible for the bump.
Right.
And what so we she, do
right.
with Bingo and I, because she's rarely high enough miles to.
Yeah.
So I'll give her, she'll take her coach seat. Yep. I'll sit in first class, get my drink.
Yep.
And then.
Swap?
She'll tell. Yeah, then I'll go down because I want the credit. I'll go down and say, hey, whoever's in the middle seat next to her, go, hey, would you mind switching out for first class?
Yeah.
And then everyone around, I will. I don't even acknowledge that I know the person next to them. I'm just randomly. Yeah, because I want the accolades for
getting. Oh, do you want the accolades? That's
I want
nice.
That guy to say, hey, thanks very much. I don't want Delta to bump someone up.
Yeah, yeah. You might as well just pick. Yeah. My brother, one of my brothers gets first class all the time, and he does this thing where if he ever sees like a soldier, he's like, That guy gets my first class, and he's like, I kind of want credit for it. And I was like, of course you want credit for it.
Absolutely.
You're not the good Samaritan. You aren't the best Christian in the world.
Yeah, I if I was going to do that, it would be for someone morbidly obese.
Oh,
fuck
right.
Fuck a soldier. He's
yeah, that guy should be fit, even though there's a lot of soft-serve ice cream being served to our soldiers.
Yeah.
And
poor bastard. Those poor people that are jammed in.
Oh, right, the middle guys. Yeah, Maria said that she was sitting next to two very big dudes, and she thought, because she had an aisle, she was like, I thought about switching with one of them, but we had just burnt, we were both burnt to a crisp because we had done these weird, we did Denver, and then in the middle of Oklahoma, outside of Tulsa, at a Cherokee casino.
I was going to say Indian casino.
Yeah,
it
Indian
would have
casino.
To be.
And then we did Oklahoma City, and so we were both kind of fried, and she was like, I couldn't face it. Even the conversation of switch with me. And they were both over 6 feet tall. She felt really bad. But in the end, who cares?
Yeah.
Everybody got home. We're flying in the air. It's already magical. But what I want to know is, so are there brands that you look for on the leisure suits or no?
No.
I just look for style.
When I find one that I remember from those days, like a Bradley's.
Yeah.
This is like a Kmart or Sears.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Carson. He had a line
at Kmart, didn't he?
I don't know where it was, but I see Johnny Carson suits a lot.
Oh, my
jackets,
God.
Jackets. And
that's kind of awesome, though.
Yeah. Oh, what's the guy, the quarterback, the Jets? Joe Namath.
Oh, Joe Namath.
Joe Namath. I had a couple of Joe Namath shirts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Big collars.
Yeah, the biggest. Did you ever see that in the 70s when they would do that sort of Boy Scout thing with a scarf and a ring up it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Dickies. I've got some leisure suits, like there's a full, you know.
Oh, matching top bottom kind of suit? Yeah,
short waisted jacket, and then you get the dickie, the fake turtleneck thing.
Yeah,
it only goes down like a bib underneath, but I get the gut. If you have a gut, you can't do that leisure suit look.
Oh, yeah, because you got to be lean. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah, that Burt Convy lean.
Ah, the Burt and Burt show. The Burt and Burt production. You remember that picture? No. It was Picture This or Picture
This. I know he was always on some kind of Love Boat.
Yeah.
He's a professional guest star.
I have a copy of a one-man show of Charles Nelson Reilly.
Wow.
And it is one of the greatest one-man shows ever. Because remember in the late, I think it was the late 90s, early 2000s, everybody, they were like, I have cancer or I beat cancer and here's my one-man show. And so it was always poignant. And his was a little poignant, but on the whole, it was just fucking hilarious. And he talked about his family, as you do, and he cast everybody in it. Like, he literally came up with one actress after another actress. And I don't know if it was in that or if I read it. Because I love Charles Nelson Reilly. And
how could you not?
How could you not? And he was so funny. But somebody tried to blackmail him in, like, 1971. And they're like, I'll tell everyone that you're gay. And he was like, who doesn't know that I'm gay? Who the fuck were you going to tell? And I don't think it was in the one-man show, but it was so... But his dad was so mad that he was gay, I guess, and probably not.
That was still back in a day where you could be that gay and, you know, still Liberace your way around it.
Right. I remember my grandmother going, it's so sad that he never found the right
nice
woman.
Lady.
Yeah. He just never found the right girl. And I was like, Liberace? Even I, who have the worst gaydar in the world, you know? It's so... Yeah. It is too bad that we got late to the leisure suits.
That's all right.
How about three-piece suits? Do you have any three-piece suits?
No.
Never go with a vest?
No, I pretty much as standard WKRP in Cincinnati. It's not supposed to be flamboyant. It's supposed to be a used car salesman.
Oh, yeah. You're at work. Yeah. It's a work outfit, but it just happens to be sky blue, is what you're telling me.
Right.
Fair enough.
That's what they wore back then.
It was pretty sweet. My dad has there's a gold suit, picture of my dad in a gold suit up there.
I watched that not Crashing, the other comedy show on Showtime or HBO.
Amazon Prime has
set in the 70s.
I'm Dying Up Here?
Yeah.
I'm Dying Up Here has great clothes, right?
I could watch that on mute just for the outfits.
Oh, yeah,
fucking fantastic.
Oh, Madrigal, man. And, okay, so Doug Stanhope, you guys, it's at Doug Stanhope. It's This Is Not Fame is the book. And the last one was about your mom, right?
Yes.
And, yeah.
Digging
Up Mother. And
starts with her suicide and then gets more fun.
And then even funnier, you guys. Nobody does death like comics. This has actually been a delight, man.
Thank you for having me.
And you're not going to go on the road again until March, so this will come out at the end of December.
I don't need to promote anything. Yeah. Follow me on Twitter. I get drunk and I
live tweet things.
Try to get people upset.
Success! Anyway, in other news, you know the rules out there, Rangers. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?